My guest Robert Freeman shot the cover photos of the first five Beatles albums, from With the Beatles, which was called Meet the Beatles in the U.S., through Rubber Soul. Freeman traveled with the Beatles from 1963 to 66 and was with them on their first trip to the U.S. Now his collection of Beatles photos is published in his new book, The Beatles, A Private View. I asked him about his cover photo for Rubber Soul, which is the cover Freeman says he's happiest with. The camera is looking up into the Beatles' faces. The leaves of a hedge are behind them. Unlike Freeman's earlier black and white Beatles cover photos, Rubber Soul was in color.
I wanted to get away from the black and white. Well, not get away from it. I wanted to just move into color. I asked them to bring down clothes that worked with the sort of green tonality of the background, browns and greens and dark colors. And then I found a location in John's garden which would give me a low angle with a hedge in the background, so I had a uniform background. The shot was taken with a normal lens, and the only odd thing about that shot is that John Lennon is looking down at camera and all the others are looking into the distance. The distortion factor came when I was projecting the slides to them later so that they could see what it make a choice on what picture they wanted to use. And when I was doing that, the card tilted slightly and it gave a distorted effect in the projection. And Paul responded very quickly to that. He said, "Oh, that looks great. Do you think you can get that effect?" So I said, "Yes, I think I can," by tilting the image in the enlarger and doing a duplicate, which is what I did, and that's what produced the final result on the album cover.
Did you also design the lettering for the title Rubber Soul?
I had people design it, but I said I wanted something that was compact and rubbery looking, and there were technical designers who did it on commission, so to speak.
You came to the Beatles on their first trip to America in February of 64.
That's right.
I think they were astonished when they saw the kind of welcome that we're getting. Were you surprised?
Well, as soon as I saw that there were that amount of fans on the roof of the airport buildings, I knew I wasn't going to get a good picture from the back of their heads shooting towards the fans. So I pushed past them, the whole crowd, the driver, the manager, et cetera, pushed past everybody, went down the steps around the back of a small clustered group of journalists, and with a telephoto captured, which is in the book, a color photograph of early morning light, soft, warm light, early morning, of them looking towards the fans on the roof with a slightly amazed smiles. And I think that point was the highest point, really, in their career, when they saw that they were welcome to America.
When you traveled with the Beatles, and it wasn't an actual photo shoot session, but you were just informally photographing them, what was the understanding you had with them about what was private and what was public? You know, what was accessible to you and fair game, and what you should keep your lens out of?
Well, that's partly my own discretion. You know, I never went for the journalistic shots of John with Cynthia, which was always needed or wanted. I just discreetly, in fact, I never did any shots of John with Cynthia. I only did George with Patty after their wedding as a personal picture for them. And I did Ringo's wedding as an offer for Ringo. I don't normally do weddings.
When you say that you didn't take photos of John and Cynthia, early on, their marriage was supposed to be more or less a secret, because the fear was that if the fans knew John was married, then they wouldn't have all these fantasies about him, because he'd be so off limits, and it would ruin the fans' relationship with the Beatles. So were you not supposed to photograph them together?
It wasn't desired by John, shall we say. and it wasn't desired by the manager. And I didn't want to exploit the situation anyway. If they're offering me a certain intimacy, if they're allowing my presence in the dressing room or in the house, I'm certainly, professionally speaking and ethically speaking, not going to take advantage of that.
Were there other things that you weren't supposed to photograph or that you felt you shouldn't photograph?
Ringo's toes, for example. He had the ugliest toes I've ever seen. Although he had a handsome face, a fine nose. So I just stuck mainly to Head and Shoulders with the Beatles.
In the 3 years that you worked with the Beatles, you saw them go from... You saw them become stars and superstars, and I'm sure you probably saw their attitude about fame change as they got more and more familiar with it. Did you see changes like that? Did you see their attitude toward their own success start to change as that success got bigger and bigger?
I think that expresses itself in continuity within the book, because you see a kind of freshness and simplicity in the early portraits. The Hard Day's Night period, which was early 1964, and also the American material of the visit to the States, had again a freshness. They were up on the they were moving up. They were on the wave of Beatlemania, and but moving towards 1965. They're getting a bit tired by the preoccupations of fame and media attention and all the rearrangement of their domestic lives. And moving on to 1966, they decided to stop, to do less touring. In fact, they did the last concert in 1966 and concentrate more on, studio production for their music. So there was a change where, and you can see this in the pictures, especially the last chapter, which is called Revolver, which was images of them in the recording studio, Abbey Road Studios, looking a little weary, recording this album.
My guest is photographer Robert Freeman. He shot the photos on the Beatles' first five album covers, and he traveled with the Beatles from 1963 to 66. His new collection of Beatles photos is called The Beatles, A Private View. Well, after you photograph album covers for the Beatles, where do you go after that? Like, what kind of assignments did you get after that?
You go home. There's only one place to go after the Beatles. You just go home.
Wait, did you end your
as John said in the end of the book, you know, when he's talking about show business, he said, you know, there's no experience like anything of what we've been through. He said, you do this and you finish. So the book actually ends on the word finish with a quote by John Lennon. And it echoed in a way my own relationship with them. I'd been with them at the fresh period of their career, the early part, and their rise to fame, and their rolling on the crest of the wave. So it was a good timing for me. But anyway, I was moving on to other things, doing film work and writing scripts. I was more into it because literature is actually my background. And then in the 70s, I went on to work with Led Zeppelin and Bob Marley. And even the night before I came to New York, I was doing shots of Chick Corea in southern Spain. So I'm still clicking away.
Here's a question that's none of my business. A lot of photographers just get a flat fee for their work. Now, the Beatles... albums that you did the covers for have sold gazillions of copies over the years. So did that affect you financially, those wonderful sales, or did you just get like a flat fee and that was that?
I got a... I think flat is an overstatement. I got a less than flat fee for the album cover, the first one. They offered me $50 and that's a buyout. and you're seeing millions of copies sold. Well, it would have been nice to have had a small percentage. But anyway, you know, that wasn't the game then, and so they've sold records, and the photographs have done their job, but I haven't benefited from it financially in percentage terms.
Now, you were able to spend time with the Beatles when there weren't a lot of other photographers around, but there were other times you were with the Beatles when there were other photographers around. What was it like for you, like when you first got to the States with the Beatles, and there were photographers all over, you know, professional and amateur, trying to get their pictures, and you're competing with them to get those pictures too? Does it make you feel kind of pointless when there's so many people with their lenses pointed at the Beatles?
Well, it becomes a media circus, and you lose the intimacy of being with them exclusively. And I'd wish I'd had more freedom to do shots of them at that time, just quietly with them. But of course, there was a lot of pressure from different media, Time, Life, Look magazine, etc., to do Saturday Evening Post, to do covers for them. I'd actually got a stylist to get 4 Uncle Sam hats and 4 Indian, good, real Indian headdresses. And I'd wanted to do 2 group shots under the right conditions with them all wearing Uncle Sam hats and also all wearing Indian headdresses. But I never got time for it.
Why did you want to do that?
Because it seemed they were in America. It seemed interesting to have them wearing traditional American hats, because a hat gives a character to a picture.
I think it would take somebody from outside of America to to think of that.
Yeah, I know. I didn't see Jerry Garcia wearing an Uncle Sam hat, or you know, Lou Reed with an Uncle Sam hat.
I can't really see that.
No, I'd like to see him. But I don't know, it was just a crazy idea. Things were crazy anyway, and I was just thinking, well, what the hell, we're in America, let's try and get something that reflects what is well known throughout the world.
Robert Freeman, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Robert Freeman's new collection of photos is called The Beatles, A Private View. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Patty Leswing, Ian Chillog, and Jessica Chu. I'm Tariq Gross.